Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G-I-G-G-S. No. Roderick.
Is there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinions. I respect your opinions. Maybe in your opinion, Messi is better than me. But in my mind, I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard car, cards, and get tatted up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up. No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. This is Rodri Giggs on Football, live from the Rum and Tavern. And the man himself is sat next to me. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Just parking in Cardiff, but
I'm not. It's wild, like, trying to park around by this pub. It's insane. It's the one downer, like, it's just impossible to park.
Same in Manchester. Well, I've just gone over there for an hour. They wanted £9. Well, we saw it after.
Yeah, that's it, mate. But nice to do one in person. We haven't done one in person for probably a year or so, innit? We did one at AT Media. That probably last Christmas, wasn't it? Before Christmas.
You'll get a rash if you come to Manchester. So every time
I know. Keep saying, innit? Yeah. I'm going to have to do it. I do say to Becky, like, all the time, I'm going to go up to Manchester, see Rodri.
And then the studio for like a year. My own studio.
I just didn't do it.
No.
It's my geography, mate. I'd have ended up in Scotland or something. It's just insane. No, mate, it's obviously it's good to have you. Good to be doing it in person. Much preferred. But lots to talk about as ever. Especially your club. It's never boring. There's just always something happening.
I thought we should start on FPL. Soccer 6, Super 6.
Right. Okay.
We always start for that, don't
we? We always start out with the fantasy league. I've just given up. Without even looking at it, I am about 300 points behind you, approximately. Like, it's that bad.
Sure, you in front of me when we start.
Probably. I've looked at it once since I started it. But charity league updates. This week's round of the Super 6 prediction was won by Nadine Carter, who scored 17 points. Ex-Cardiff City defender Lee Jarman close behind on 16. And then we have the new overall leader in Alan Bodmer, who's got an impressive 248 points this season. In terms of fantasy Premier League round, still active with the last two games being played tonight, so no update for that yet. But in terms of me and Rodri, the Super 6 is close as ever, with myself on 195 points, Rodri's on 199. We both scored 6 points this week. And that's it. Yeah, there's no update for the Fantasy Premier League, apart from I'm on 777 points and Rodri's on 902. The next round for both. It's a big gap, mate, that is. Next round for both are on Saturday. Also, if you haven't used your wild card chip for the Fantasy Premier League, you need to use it this week or you will lose it. And there we go. But the Super Six, mate, is it's like knack and neck all the time, isn't it? I get ahead.
Just keep it interesting for the viewers. Once you start getting to the championship rounds, that's when I just start to fuck you up. Sorry.
You fall away. I think fall away is what's happened the last two seasons.
Just like those little stiff arm to the face. And
I think you overcomplicate. Yeah, that's what I think. Anyway, but yeah, it's gonna be good, mate. We've got, like I say, loads to discuss, particularly some interesting going on at your club. Start with the game. Villa 2-0 up after 20 minutes. You must have been thinking, for God's sake, what are we doing?
Yes and no, because if you watch the game, if you watch the game, you'd have known there was goals in the game. Mm. They could have scored in the first half. There's an extra half a yard behind, run behind, and they could have got a couple of goals. So with the right tweaks, which happened. They're still lucky. They went back up, brought back to 2-2. Onana scored, made a very good save. Johnny Evans cleared off, basically off the line. But you only need them kind of bit of luck if you're coming back from 2-0 and you're going to get a winner. And it was back to like old United ways. Tails behind them and going for the throat. And that's what you want to see. Ganacho on the right, Rashford on the left, and Ireland gets his first Premier League goal, which is a very good goal.
Very good.
Instinctive goal. And hopefully now he just goes from strength to strength.
He had such a little space to aim at Højlund as well.
Instinctive.
But I think that's what he needed was like the chances where he hasn't got to think, like he hasn't got time to think about it. I think that's where he was struggling in recent weeks, where
chances. He's given a lot of chances, really, hasn't he?
One or two shots in it, but like even I'm sure someone, one of us two said that Garnacho off the right would be a good idea. Sure, it was proven right.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, I said they should play like Anthony on the left and Garnacho on the
right.
You throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks. But no, I think like I said, my point was that the inverted wingers and keep cutting in was just not creating nothing.
I agree, and Rashford wasn't doing out there, so he's better on the left. And Garnacho proved he's better on the right, crossing, scoring goals. And
you know, though, it was there was a couple of things which I thought were quite interesting about the game. One, I thought Villa played into United's hands perfectly because they play such a high line that even when United
they've done that well this season, though, haven't they?
But when United in the first half, even though it was 2-0 at half time, could have been about 4-2 to United. United had really good chances in that 20 minutes after the second goal. And I just thought, just drop in for the first 10 minutes of the second half. If Villa had just dropped 10 yards back, I think they would have just maybe taken the wind out of United's sails a little bit, because United just kept getting in behind them. And it was just like, the more you get in behind, the more you believe, didn't you? And you had the disallowed goal. But ultimately, I thought the big difference between that game and the Chelsea game, where they did quite well, and some of the other games where they've kind of shown glimpses of playing like they can, is in this game, it wasn't like a basketball game, just going end to end to end. United had control of the midfield. I still think they could do with like having Amrabat or someone in there with Mainoo, but McTominay out.
Casemiro.
Yeah, I think he's not far back, mate, him and Martinez. And this is what people forget.
No,
right?
I'm sure either.
Yeah. I thought Dallow did quite well in the second half. I thought first half he was a bit shaky, but second half I thought he was very good. I like Wan-Bissaka as well. I think he's very good. And I also think that Varane has made a big difference in the last few games. Even in the West Ham game where they kind of got done on the break a bit twice. Like Varane didn't play in Ireland, did he? The game before that, Varane played well, and the young lad did well against Villa. He obviously came off towards the end. But like, what people forget is the side which Ten Hag did very well with last year, if you look at his preferred starting 11 from last year, yeah, where they won the League Cup, finished third, whatever, done quite, gone on that big run. Out of that preferred 11, I think there's something like four or five players who have played like two or three games. Then when you add in the likes of Mount and Marty, who's the other one who hasn't, Hoyland, when he was injured when he first came in, like he hasn't had the opportunity to play his preferred core and the new signings. So I think it would be so harsh, even if they'd lost against Villa, I said, like, it would be so harsh to sack him, because until you see his core plus his new signings and let them actually play together, you don't know if what he's trying to do.
There's so much going on. I don't think they'll be able to sack him yet. Obviously, if they're going to sack him, they're going to wait to the end of the season.
Makes sense.
We're looking at, a big NFL fan, and the big news this week, today about Russell Wilson. Now they're going to drop him, and they're going to have to lose £90 million because they don't want him. But, you know, sometimes they've got a lot of things to delegate and get right at the minute. And I don't think on the field is the right time to do that. Do that at the end of the season, see where we're at.
Yeah, it looks like they said they're going to do like this strategic review, didn't they, till the summer?
But behind the scenes, they look like there's work going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, 100%.
It's Dan Ashcroft coming in from Newcastle.
The quartet in it is Dan Ashworth, Dave Brailsford, what's the one, Mitchell, Paul Mitchell, and then the guy who's...
The one who was at the game.
I can't remember his name. Blanc, is it? And Brailsford, yeah. Like, that four, like, obviously, like, a couple of them won't be able to come in straight away because one of them's at Dash, was at Newcastle, and I think one of them somewhere else as well. So, like, you know, they probably won't come into the summer, but, they're going to be looking and studying. I think a big part of it is off the field, though, mate. I really do. And then I think once you get things in place off the field with those four, then... you can look at the playing squad and say, right, is there a problem with mentality or attitude within the current squad? And if you decide there is, you've got to get rid of the one or two, three, whatever it is, you get them out. And then you say, right, is this the right manager to take this squad forward with if he adds X, Y, and Z? And like that, those four people, particularly Paul Mitchell, and Dan Ashworth, they're rackled. Not just in the transfer market, but also in terms of building something long term. Like Dan Ashworth did a lot of the heavy lifting at Brighton before Potter came in. And then you look at how they've been able to seamlessly move from Potter to De Zerbi, but keep bringing in players, selling their best players, and then keep it rolling. I know they've stuttered a little bit now, but like a lot of that was down to Dan Ashworth.
That's because all the players have gone, no?
Yeah, of course. But they've still managed, they haven't like, you know, sold Casado. They're still in the top 10
that's
or whatever.
Expected, isn't it?
Yeah.
Casado.
McAllister. But they sold some of the kind of, those were the they were the superstars, weren't they? Those three. But then you also, they've sold a couple of the like, you know, younger
keeper's
players.
Gone.
Yeah.
The keeper gone as well.
Yeah, the keeper went to
Sanchez, Tottenham.
Chelsea. Yeah. And then the Brentford keeper went to Arsenal, didn't he? Yeah, I think I've been quite consistent when we've talked about it all along, mate. As I've said, to me, you keep Ten Hag, you get things above him right, and I believe that he's got a track record historically that he'll succeed. I think he's already shown that he's got the mentality to deal with big moments off the field. You look at how he dealt with Ronaldo and Sancho, and regardless of whether...
Still dragging on that Sancho one, aren't you?
Well, apparently said today in the papers that so any decision, transfer market, contract renewals, managers, anything remotely like that has to go through Ineos, even though they've got to have this fit and proper test thing. It's all going to be... So the Glazers can't sack Ten Hag, say, or they can't sell Sancho without Jim Ratcliffe giving him the okay, which in theory I think is good because
it couldn't be bad though, could it?
Well, yeah, because
their cards, people, you don't have lines of power.
Yeah, it's I'd like to think
Americans all about money, just worried, just flipping me money.
Well, I think the Glazers, if you look at it, like historically, they're probably, like, as long as they get that big fat check, they just don't care. Mm-hmm. But I think most importantly for United, like, Sancho's got to be out in January in one way, shape, or form. He has to go, even if it's just on loan until the summer, and then they make a decision with the new manager or the current manager, whatever it is, after they do this review. You have to get him out of there in January, because I think, even though he's not around the squad, he's still speaking to him, isn't he?
Yeah.
So there's still, and you know what it's like in a dressing room. If someone's not getting on with the manager, it might not be vocalized all the time. He's still moaning.
Of course, as long as you've got a good core group, which is questionable. So just to wait and see. But it's a good start against Villa, because Villa are a decent side. We've got some good results. I think it would have been a travesty if we got beat there.
I thought they were unlucky against West Ham, mind. They really did. United, I thought they were unlucky against West Ham. I thought they got done on the break twice. But they just create nothing. Oh, they weren't.
Unlucky against Bournemouth for well 3-0. You can't keep on getting lucky against beat. These 2-3-0s.
To you then, as a United fan, like, what's more important to you between now and the end of the season? Winning football matches, or would you accept losing, say, not quite a third, but losing probably a few, but the performances, from the Villa game to the end of the season, become more consistent. So more games than not, the performances is good, but there might be a few slip-ups because you've got young players in there or whatever. Or would you prefer to just see sort of turgid results?
Well, you want to see consistency, don't you?
Yeah. I just think, because
you just spent £400 million.
That's wild when you think that they've spent that much and they still need.
But it's still dead wood that Jose Mourinho was talking about, Ralph Rangnick was talking about, why these players don't. But
it's hard. Yeah. You can't move all of them out at the same time.
Martial, well, he'll be going, won't he? Martial, Rashford is still question mark about him. His attitude looks like a baby.
He looked better on his attitude.
But his dummy might be on next week.
Yeah. You can't take the risk, can you?
So just get into the bottom of it and see what's wrong with him.
And again, like, I don't know, so it's purely a hypothetical, but, like, is he a bit frustrated because he's mates with Sancho and he feels like his mate should be in the squad? Like, you know, because we know they're, at the very least, they're good mates. Like, if your good mate is out ostracized and you kind of feel like he's a bit harsh.
No, yeah, possibly, yeah.
But, you know, it's obviously a hypothetical. In terms of the Ineos,
that should affect him really, though,
he's not only getting paid handsomely to play football at a professional level, which is every kid's dream, every bloke's dream, but he's also playing for his hometown club, which is literally every football fan's dream, isn't it? Like, everyone dreams of playing professional football, blah, 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 growing up. But, like, the dream is to do it at the top level for your club.
Yeah.
So, regardless of if your mate's having a paddy, you should be able to suck it up. And then when you add in the, here's £400 grand a week, come on. I think you can run.
That should come into it. When you grew up playing for Man United, you should know.
But this is how the mentality has changed, doesn't it? Like, what we were saying the other week.
Changed like 5 years ago when he posted the team. Now, all of a sudden, he's a big-time Charlie. He's getting £350 grand a week and he's strut around. Not the way it works.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but then maybe there's something else going on. Like, you know, maybe there is something which is away from football, which maybe is, like, causing some sort of distraction. But in terms of the Ineos thing, Jim Ratcliffe will own 25% once they've done this fit and proper person test or whatever. It's not worth the paper it's written on, let's be honest. But so he'll own 25%, but he's also on top of that, so that's what the fee which he pays for that 25% effectively the Glazers get. But he's also putting in 300 million, which is just for the football club. But when you break it down, 300 million does not go far at a club the size of United, does it?
No, but you'd expect players to go out as well.
Yeah, of course. I think you get 20 million for Martial, say.
Well, no, I think his contract's out, finished. Oh, is it? He's end of contract.
No, he signed a new one in, don't
I? No. I think it's the end of his contract. He can sign with people from January.
Ah, okay.
Van der Beek,
he's gone, isn't he? They said McTominay, 30 million.
McTominay, possibly. One of the fullbacks, possibly. Varane, possibly.
Varane and Casemiro is an interesting one because they've got a decision
possibly,
to make, haven't they?
Rashford, possibly.
That would be proper open heart surgery, as Ranyek said.
Someone says, yeah, I sold 100 million, 120 million.
What would be your minimum for Rashford then?
100.
You take 100 million straight up.
Yeah.
But the problem is, right, if you take, say they sold Rashford,
scored two goals,
then left with.
Scored two goals or something.
But you know, I think it's a fairly safe bet that he's going to find his form at some point. He's proven.
When?
Yeah.
Well, he had one good season, that was last year. One. Where he's consistently scored like 25, 30 goals.
I thought he had two.
Maybe his debut season, he was all right as well.
Yeah. But they need, you know, they're on about a new stadium. Ronaldo said the training facilities are all sorts of, you know, they need all, like they were the same when he left, was when he came back and things like this. There's so much stuff that needs doing, both physically and sort of strategically in terms of the setup. Like, it just feels like it's a massive job. But one of the things which Dave Brailsford said in his cycling days was, what did he call it? I forgot the term he uses. But effectively, it was like gradual, like small improvements everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it starts to take care of itself. And that strategy has worked everywhere they've gone. Now, people who are moaning about it are moaning about two things. They're moaning about, look at Nice, look at what they've done there. And then they're also moaning about the fact that the Glazers are still
17 goals. So there, he's had like one, he's had a good season. He's not consistent. You have one good season and a bad one. One good season and a bad one.
Oh. And that's the problem, isn't it?
Sorry.
That's the problem is you can't, you can't get like consistent out of him. And I think that's what separates Rashford from, say, an Mbappe or a Messi and all these players that we've seen over the years, like the very, very best, is they do it week in, week out, season out, season out. And it's just Rashford, like you say, is one good season, one bad season. But it does seem to be, like this time around, at least, in terms of him having a rough season, it does seem to be more attitude than... Like, it seems to be his attitude that's led to the drop in quality rather than a drop in quality or a drop in form that has led to him sulking. Like, it seems to be his attitude that has caused problems. But then I suppose it's like a bit of a vicious circle, isn't it?
Whatever attitude, you should still be 100%.
Yeah, and I think
especially
that was...
Especially when you're an academy player.
That was the one, wasn't it? It's the Newcastle game when he got dropped. Like, he...
He was bad.
Watching the fullback run past him.
And then just going like that.
Yeah, as if someone else has done something wrong. Like, yeah.
Prima donna.
Couple of comments here. Reece says, would it be better to write off the season now and try and sell as much of the deadwood in January and start the rebuild for next season now? Would you go with that? Or do you think there's still plenty to be salvaged from this season?
Yeah, I think because, yeah.
You've got the FA Cup. Got the top four.
And there's still the top four to go for. Possibly even a top five this year. So I would try and get as much, as possible. Well, obviously get rid of it and leave yourself short. You still have these people on the bench just in case. I know it's not ideal bringing these players on, but no, I wouldn't leave myself short, but I'd get rid of as much as I can, i.e. Marshall, get rid of him as soon as possible. Donny van der Beek, he's not going to play again. Get rid of him. There's 30, 40 million we can play with.
Well, I think as well.
McTominay, I would get rid of McTominay.
I would get rid of McTominay in January.
His price tag's gone up a bit, so you'll get 45, 50 million.
Well, I think him and Maguire's price tag now compared to the start
of
the season
Maguire.
Gone over. I would sell him in the summer.
I wouldn't keep him
long term, but I would keep him. I wouldn't be in a rush to get rid of him.
I like his attitude where he's down and out, and he's been brilliant since he came back after his injury. But yeah, I admire that kind of attitude.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you.
Really good as well.
But
it was when the first 2 years when he came.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you regarding his attitude and his mentality to be able to come back from
where he was. Walker's Cardiff side, he would.
Just about. Only just about. No, I think the issue which I have with him, well, as a player, like in terms of that United setup, is if United play like the manager wants to and he gets the players in he wants and he gets things how he wants, that will not suit Maguire, not will not suit the way he wants to play. And then you have a massive issue. So he wouldn't be like the first player I'd get out the door. But if someone offered me 40, 50 million for him, I'd probably take it. Just because long term. But I think depends, doesn't it? Because you've got Varane, maybe, has had his eyes
changed. I would get rid of Varane.
The problem with him is he just can't stay fit.
Yeah,
however,
I'd get rid of Varane and get someone like a dunk. Real solid.
Yeah. They won that lad from Nice, didn't they, to Debo, which...
Someone with legs and salt, it's difficult. It's a partnership, that, and you've got to get the right partner. So you've got one in Martinez, you've got to look at the other one.
Do you think, Dunk is just another Maguire in terms
no,
of...
No, but he's quick, he's got pace.
Okay.
And he can play. If you look at the stats, he's the most... And the most players in the Premier League in touches and passes. You can pass the ball, he's always looking for the ball. The way they want to play out, which winds you up sometimes when you just Anana's just like passing to someone in a 6-yard box. And then he's passing someone on the spot.
Tell you what.
And Johnny Evans pinging it back to him.
Yeah. Do you see that one? What was he trying to do?
Johnny Evans pinged it back to him.
It was like a shot, wasn't it? Yeah. And do you know though, right? I saw some people slagging off Anana again. And I saw people moaning about Johnny Evans' play. And it's like, but Johnny Evans in the last couple of games has been outstanding. And when you consider, like, he's doing, probably playing more games than they thought he would. I think he's doing a great job considering he's 37 or whatever. And just.
It's not where Man United should be at, was it?
No, of course it's not. But with injuries and stuff, he's had to kind of
chuck his boots on. And pubs like Cardiff and stuff.
Yeah. Out. Well, you would, didn't it?
No, but Johnny Evans, if you. Johnny Evans would have come to Cardiff this year, you'd be like, 37, yeah. But no, decent.
We'd have a wicked signing.
Yeah, so.
Suit the way the manager wants to play as well.
Yeah, I so. But he shouldn't be coming United.
No, you're right. I think there's money to be made,
there's
though, in
times
some of those
when
players.
Doing that back in the day where they were bringing 36, 37 year olds, 35 year olds. They would play like Laurent Blanc, World Cup winners.
Henrik Larsson on loan for like 6 months to tide you over, sort of thing. Do you know who I was. That's what I was saying about Anana. So people were moaning about him, saying he should have done better for the free kick against Villa. And I was like, yeah, like if he comes and cleans out the defence again. But it's so hard when it bounces. And
I disagree. You still,
because it's everyone's
stay
in two minds
with the ball. And if the ball, someone gets a touch on it, fair enough. But do you just leave and just go? You've got to follow the ball. If it bounces, no one touches, you just collect it.
Yeah,
simple.
I agree.
If someone touches it. So it's all down to him.
I agreed that it was his fault,
plus,
but I don't agree that it was like this huge clatter. Like
he's in his 6-yard box. Why is he not coming out and just going boom?
Yeah, just clean everyone out. But I actually thought he had a pretty good game. There was one where he puts a pass out for a throw, but where he was under a bit of pressure. But like you mentioned, that Johnny Evans pass. But most importantly, that header from about just inside the penalty spot.
Yeah.
And if Villa scored then straight after United had scored. I can see Villa
it's
going
amazing,
and winning.
Isn't it? Goalkeeper, 50 million, doing his job.
I understand that, Mitch.
Just there
was
as well. For
reactions, isn't it? Reactions. I, you know, admit, maybe I've got a bit of a soft spot for keepers because my boy is one and I've seen like how difficult a job it is. But I just think like sometimes, you know, when people like just decide like he's shit, he's a flop, whatever. And they can't see past
his
that.
First season, so plus United are all over the place. You can't really judge him.
How many centre back pairings Japanese players
so you
this
can't
year?
Really judge him, yeah. All over the gap.
What do you think of some of the young players who come in this last couple of weeks? Like defender, I thought looked real good. Difficult to say, like in the long term of things. I just thought his passing was very good. A couple of really nice diagonal balls. You know, comfortable on the ball, defended well, didn't do anything wrong.
Looked okay
for a debut.
Didn't really get put under pressure, did they?
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? We
no,
expect David Watkins, Moyes.
You didn't see him.
But you know, like
West
Ham,
yeah,
West Ham,
yeah.
Like, I just thought, when I saw that he was making his debut, 18 years old, and he's only just 18 as well, I was thinking David Moyes, yeah, he's going to be like, he's going to have a big striker and Bowen.
They would have had Antonio, they would have been perfect for him, right?
Yeah, just batted him like, and really put him to the test.
But Kudos is a bit more.
But even so, like, yeah, but like, I just felt like they could have got Kudos and Jack Bowen and the other one, Paqueta, just put them, like, have them all around him every time he gets the ball, particularly in the first 20 minutes. They didn't press him, like, you letting him settle, you know? Like, that first 20 minutes, he just was, you know, have the ball. And I know West Ham play a bit like that. They stand off and they wait to press, but when you've got an 18-year-old who's only just turned 18, making his debut, got to put him under a bit of pressure first 20 minutes, let him know you're there, etc. Sorry, yeah. So McTominay, you'd sell in January?
If there was a right offer. Not in January. Not in January.
40 million in January? Take that?
No. No.
50?
Yeah.
I think, and I think his price has gone up. And I think, exactly. Didn't, how much did West Ham bid for him in the summer?
40. 30, 40.
I think 50, fair price.
Goal scoring midfielder.
You can't play the ball on the ground.
Well, yeah, but some players, some teams don't want to.
Yeah, I think there's teams, like, you imagine you put him in West Ham side, I reckon he'd do a wicked job.
West Ham, Newcastle, I think he'd do a good job for.
If you put him with Paqueta, Bowen and Kudos, like, those are the three around him.
Ward-Prowse.
And then Ward-Prowse as the deeper midfielder, you'd be laughing, mate. Because I think he would do all the leg work and the dirty work, be on the end of crosses and stuff. Reece says, his question, is it harder for British clubs to get work permits for South American players? Barca and Madrid seem to find gems over there, but the British clubs don't seem to be able to spot and sign them.
Well, they're probably the same scouts and stuff, but they speak the same lingo, don't they?
Yeah, they seem to have more issues of getting a work permit. So I don't know whether it's something.
It's easy when you Latino and you speak. Sure, it's easier.
And yeah, I suppose when you're going through contracts and loopholes and the rest of it, like when you're trying to work out these things, if you've got like
Lionel Messi. Yeah. He's in Barcelona from like 14, 15.
Yeah. I mean, Barca signed a boy from.
There's another player in my son. Well, you say that, like, but City are looking at the kid from River Plate who's 17 and they're going to buy him for 21 million.
Yeah.
I was reading that report today. A young 17-year-old for River Plate. City put a bid in for 21 million.
Oh, mate, that's crazy, man. 17.
No, if the player's good enough and they want them, they'll get him.
Yeah, they find a way around it, don't they?
These South Americans, when you say, do you want to go to play in Manchester where it's freezing, not yeah. play in Madrid? With the palm trees, what would you do?
Yeah, exactly that, mate. Go and play, go and live in Barcelona. Go and live in.
And going sunbathing instead of crying my eyes out next to penguins.
Yeah, that's it, mate. So.
Freezing.
There was a boy who played for my boys' team, like Parks team. And when his family was Spanish, but he was born here and they lived here. Incredible footballer, like for someone who was like at the time about 8 or 9. And he went to Barcelona. They went out to Spain, got him a house. They had family over there as well. So it wasn't like a big drama moving to a foreign country, like if Gareth Bale or something like that.
I think it's changing now. The managers like Pep and the different type of foreign managers over here and the more coverage the Premier League gets. So you see a lot more South Americans coming over here than you did back in the past. But you're always going to choose Real Madrid or Barcelona over City or United or Liverpool.
Is that how they get
them? You're still going to see the Coutinhos, still the good Brazilians that you'd never see.
Because
early Premier League, you wouldn't see Brazilian. Janinho.
There's a handful of Ravinelli
Italian. Yeah. Janinho, there's another Brazilian for Middlesbrough. Can't remember his name. Curly hair. Looked like Sol Goh.
What was the guy who played for Bolton? Brazilian guy. No, he's.
With JJ Kocha,
he's Jamaican, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you had JJ Kocha.
JJ Kocha was Nigerian.
Djorkov, JJ Kocha,
French.
Ivan Campo
was Spanish.
Sure, they had a Brazilian as well. I can't remember.
Ricardo Gardner. I mean him left back.
Quality left back, mate. But Emerson, there you go. Well.
Emerson, yeah, that was it.
that's what I was going to ask you.
You wouldn't really see South, I mean, you wouldn't see South Mendes back in the day, but now they're all over the show.
Yeah, that's very true.
Joel Linton, Casemiro, Anthony. You'd never see Brazil players in the Premier League.
Yeah, and when they did, they struck any, like, the odd ones, like Ferran even.
It was too cold for him. They wouldn't want to be over it. I could see him playing in life. They'd be tight, big, massive, curved gloves on.
Big snoots and stuff.
Yeah, so it's only right when they grow up in a kind of type of climate which warm.
From the cocoa butter to
Salford
or whatever. Like, it's a bit of a difference in where they're in. So that's what I was going to ask you. So, like, with the kids, like the young kids, there's supposed to be these rules in place, isn't it, where if you play academy football, you're supposed to play for the local academy. So, like, you know, like, if, say, like, my boys, I mean, would have to play for Cardiff, Tazewell, Bristol, like, local areas. That's supposed to be the rules. But clubs do seem to get around it somehow, like, whether it's they buy the families a house or they give the families a job or whatever. Like, it's just, do you know what I mean? Like, they find a way. And if they find a way for kids to move them to where they want to go, then they'll find a way for, like, a 17, 18-year-old who's almost ready to play in the first team or, you know, 23s, then they're definitely going to find a way, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But it's just normal when you've grown up in that team, you're going to first option's going to be. Well, unless the money's crazy.
I think it's, like, unless you're, the money's crazy or you're a fan of a particular club or whatever, it can be different then, kind of. Brighton got, Brighton got McAllister because no one else wanted him or seemingly was interested in him. Then he had the World Cup.
Good World Cup, yeah.
I guess.
Well, that's good recruitment from Brighton, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got a good recruitment system, haven't they?
He's come out of nowhere. Like McAllister, is he Scottish?
No, it's Argentina, isn't it?
No, I know that. Yeah. Who's this McAllister? Never seen him before. And he's winning the World Cup.
Well, mate, when I first seen him on the Brighton team sheet, I was like,
who's that? Scottish,
isn't it? You know, it's like the least South American name ever. Just lastly on United, what would you like to see from Jim Ratcliffe between now and the end of the season? Because I think some people are expecting miracles, and then other people are expecting
it's not going to happen overnight, is it? Any realistic United fan knows that. But when you see changes, you see improvements. What's happening with changing the training ground? What's happening with the ground? It's still fucking leaking, you know. And just seeing better recruitment. Just seeing better recruitment is the main
one. Signs that they're getting it together off the pitch.
Well, when has a player come to United and then gone for more money?
It's been a long time, mate.
Yeah, so,
well, I would argue there's been a long time since a player's gone to United.
Casemiro, 70 million, no selling value. You're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. But, like, who's improved since they got to United in the last 10 years? Bruno, maybe?
Yeah, that's it.
I think if you look at Bruno's stats, like, people get carried away with his whinging and this, that and the other. But actually, if you look at Bruno's stats, apart from this year, like, they are insane since he's gone from United. He's up there with the literal best in the world. So you can't argue with that. Brighton are currently beating Tottenham 2-0 and Arsenal are losing 1-0 to West Ham.
One for Arsenal.
West Ham, Suchek,
yeah, not got any of the two.
Yeah, see, Arsenal bottling it already. That is a long way to go in that game. Look at that. Pedro scored a penalty for Brighton. I think he missed one earlier in the game, so he stepped up for the second one. In terms of the results over the weekend and over the Christmas period. Like, what, any team sort of caught your eye in terms of how they performed on that?
No.
I thought it was not as good as it had been in the run-up to Christmas.
No, people like Arsenal, City, Liverpool, Villa, they're all, like, on a certain type of level at the minute. But, you know, Liverpool, City and Arsenal have got different levels. So you expect to see them to push on now, but... You know, looking there, and West Ham are beating
Arsenal 1-0 first half, so that's a, they've got to do well to turn that round, although it's been at home and it's still first half, but it won't be easy. But yeah, it'll be tougher West this year. It's tougher because Premier League's signs are getting strong, and the West Ham, we've got Paqueta, Ward-Prowse. These are very, very good Premier League players. Same with Villa. Very good Premier League players. Brighton, very good Premier League players. Newcastle. So you've got very good teams that on the day can turn you over. So it's going to be a lot tighter, but you still think City, Liverpool and Arsenal will come from one of them three.
I watched Liverpool and I still think
they have a sneaky feel for Liverpool this year, so...
I just think, like, they're very reliant on Salah, like, in terms
of... He goes away for the African Cup as well.
This is the next thing I was going to ask you about.
For, like, 10 games.
Yeah. It's like a whole of January, isn't it?
And some of February, if they go far.
All the way in.
Where they're big games, they'll miss Liverpool, they'll miss City.
Just some big games, isn't it?
They'll miss City and Liverpool in that. So he'll miss that game, and if Liverpool don't score, Mo Salah don't score. Liverpool don't score.
Well, that what's the other striker they got? Nunes, isn't it? Like
he's got like £89 million for him. There's not much noise.
Very hit and miss, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like he's either very very good or very not good. Like there's nothing in between. Very inconsistent. Where do you stand on the AFCON thing? There's a lot of clubs are not happy that they're going to lose. First team regulars now. Well, this is it. I mean, and Cardiff included in that, they're going to lose Jamali Collins for a couple of weeks at least. And they've played the same back and forth. You're going to use your keeper.
Like, we all know this. When it's, so.
I think United probably got a little argument to say, feel a bit of hard done by, because when they signed him, he had said he wasn't going to play, didn't he? So, but yeah, you're right. Look, you know that if you're signing top players, they play for their international countries, and that's when it is. I'd like to see him move it, I would, but this parcel of having top level players, you lose them if they're from that part of the world. But it'll be interesting who can cope best with it and who's got the mode. Like West Ham will lose Kudos, United lose Onana, Salah goes from Liverpool. There's a lot of clubs affected by it. Like Cardiff, they lose Collins. They played the same back four pretty much every game of the season so far, except I think two when Perry NG was injured. They got no left back to really replace him. So they're going to have to sign someone, whether it's loan. They loaned out their young left back. They've got this one guy on loan who can play like, centre back or left back. But I mean, he didn't play particularly well when he did play, and I'm not sure that he's a left back. He's more of a centre back. But so Spurs, another one, mate. Like very, very. Everyone was prayed, like saying, "Oh, this is their year."
No, I know, but three games. Once these are good coaches and managers. When these teams play such high line, like Aston Villa, like Tottenham, can get done over. Best Premier League, very good coaches, very good players. So. It's only like split seconds, and these Villa are the most team to catch people offside this year, and Tottenham are second.
Yeah.
So eventually, sometimes it's going to go wrong for them.
If you think back to the League Cup final when United played Brighton, the only way that United contained them was by playing very deep and defending their box. Whereas I'd imagine, I haven't seen the game tonight, but I'd imagine Tottenham haven't changed their tactics, have played a very high line. And Brighton, even if they're not as good as they have been maybe the last couple of years, they'll still take you apart if you play a high line, just like United did in the second half against Villa. And I think the Premier League is becoming more and more like the Championship in terms of, even on paper, when you think so-and-so is going to beat so-and-so, any team can beat any team. And there's that belief in some of the smaller clubs or the non-traditional sort of big clubs, if you like. They all seem to have a bit more belief about them this year, I think, that they can go and get something against the big clubs. Because I don't remember a time when, like, City have lost, I think, three games already, like, by Christmas. Liverpool have, Villa have lost.
They've got rid of a lot of players in there. And it sees with even with them, they've got some very key players. And if they've got top players out, i.e. Rodri or Haaland,
without Rodri, they're
not guaranteed to play, win.
Yeah. Well, the three games Rodri's missed, they lost, or the four, sorry, the three they lost and one they drew. Like, that's... But yeah,
that's why we talked
for
about
other clubs
on the way in. The car at Calvin Phillips, I don't think he's
don't fancy him.
Nah,
he doesn't like him. See, no, I wouldn't. I don't think he's at that like very top level.
No.
And like Rodri plays as a single pivot, and like you've seen with United, how difficult it is for one player to play on his own when you've got teams rushing through that midfield.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows how good he is. But also, I think with City is. If City can't cope without that one player and it all goes to pot when he's not there, how can the likes of Newcastle and Manchester United's managers be expected to cope without 9, 10, whatever amount of first team players? But they don't, it's different in terms of how the media will talk about it, you know? So like City lose those games, the media will sort of say, oh yeah, you know, it's an off day, or the other club is treating it like a cup final, blah, blah, blah. Whereas United just have been slated all season. Newcastle have had a bit of stick recently, and it's like, yeah, but there's a reason behind it, but the reason's never talked about. It's weird. Let's talk about the championship, mate. It's been very interesting, and then we'll do our predictions to finish off. But while I bring up the championship table, mate, what's your plans then while you're
just families, just chilling really, see family in it. Nothing really, probably might go to the fair tomorrow.
Going to Wonderland?
And then back home Saturday.
What the weather were you as well, the Manchester weather?
No, yeah.
You
should be used to it down there.
Boys haven't played a game of football since
proper windy last night.
November. My boy hasn't played football, match.
Oh, because they've been called off?
Because of the weather from probably the end of November, maybe.
Yeah.
It's crazy, mate. And he won't play now until probably the end of January.
And then they've got a bunch of all the fixtures they've got to get through.
And then the league will go, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's four games.
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. But yeah, there was at least 2 or 3 weeks where it's like sunny on Saturday and they called it off. It's frustrating, mate. It really is really frustrating. Just getting our drinks orders in. Championship, right. So, Leicester play Cardiff tomorrow. I was going to ask you, which one go? What do you reckon you're going to be a bit of a squeeze?
I've got a call.
It's in the night, it is.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
what
fancy, mate.
Okay.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
See,
I got tickets. I got to go.
Okay. It's up to you, mate. I because Andy's down as well. He's working it. So I was gonna think of it going because I said to you the other week. Leicester. So it's pretty good, decent game as well.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna see my mother in the afternoon, and then I was gonna. If you want to go down there, I'll go down there.
Yeah, leave that with me.
When you finish with the thing. Right. Anyway, as we sort out our days for tomorrow. Right. Yeah, Leicester slipped up, mate, and dropped a point for the first time in a while. I think it was against Ipswich, wasn't it? Didn't Ipswich score right at the end? I'm sure they did. But the championship's mental, mate, how close it is in terms of just it never changes, mate, does it? It's just constant, so close all the way through.
So I've got both. I blackmailed my sister.
I was sorting that. I'll speak to Fingy later. See if I can get some tickets. Southampton, do you think they're 5 points behind Ipswich? Still doable, isn't it? Easy. Ipswich.
They always draw one all these top games, don't they? We watched it with Arsenal City the other day. Or was it Liverpool? 1-1.
Yeah. But you never get your predictions right on the predictor.
No. Well, actually, I had one odd in that on that day, but Leicester and obviously Leicester scored later on.
Mm.
But
They do look the best side, don't look, even though...
Down to Leeds. South, top four,
Southampton have really pressed on, haven't they?
Yeah, they've kicked on recently, and they, I mean, they smashed the Jackson, haven't they? It was 5-0.
Leeds obviously had a difficult
result. Well, they had that good result against Leicester, didn't they, Leeds? Just a stretch.
Thank you.
Yeah, Leeds is an interesting one because they don't seem to have the same consistency as like some of the others. So, like Southampton, Leicester, and Ipswich have been very consistent all the way through, whereas Leeds have been a bit more up and down. But I thought Leicester was gonna, you know, was gonna beat Leeds, not comfortably, but I did think they'd beat them. And then I can't find the thing, but I'm pretty sure they beat Leicester, didn't they? Or was it a draw? I'm sure they beat them. But yeah, that was right. They beat them. So they beat Ipswich 4-0. Great result against second in the league.
There's a couple of lads a couple of people work with the Leeds fans, so I always look out for Leeds fans. As soon as Preston North End got beat, I'm straight on the phone to me, mate. Because he's a Leeds fan, he's right on full time, so. But they've been pretty well, apart from that.
Well, yeah, and like that game on Saturday.
Southampton are flying, aren't they?
Yeah, but Leeds, like, they beat Ipswich, second in the league, beat them 4-0, very convincing, very good result. And then they follow it up to lose away at Preston 2-1, and it's like, you do the hard work by getting that big, big result. And that seems to be like almost the story of their season, that they can't get a run going. You know, look there, like they beat Middlesbrough, beat Blackburn, and then they lose and drop points against Coventry and Sunderland. And that's why I don't think Leeds will go up.
I do hope Leeds get into the playoff and then get beat.
I think they probably make the playoffs because I think they're good enough to do that.
They're good enough to make the playoffs, but we don't want them back in the Premier League. No.
I think as well is if they get to the playoffs, they're so hit and miss that, yeah, they could turn up and beat whoever they're playing 3-4-0. But they could also turn up and get turned over.
You won't play in the playoffs, would you?
Absolutely not. But, yeah. Well,
it's always tight coming to the end. But you're looking at the table, there's four teams.
But there's always a team.
They're going to be fighting it out. For me, though, for the rest of the season, looking at that, it's going to be a four-team race. I think Leicester will steam away from it. And I think Leeds and Southampton will bring Ipswich into there.
Yeah. Like,
and then it'd be out of three to get that automatic one.
Yeah, but even Leicester have been pegged back a little bit. Like,
I think Ipswich has done really, really well. I think they'll tail off at the end. And I think Southampton will get that.
I can see how that might happen, definitely. But in terms of the playoffs, like, there's always a team from sort of 10th, 11th, 12th, maybe even further down, which comes late on and just wins like 10 games.
Could be Lisbon now.
Yeah, we've got Middlesbrough.
They've got Coventry.
Look at Coventry's form there. Like, you've got Cardiff, I think.
Then we've got results against Leeds, so it's always difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. City are like.
Anyone could beat anyone.
All right, it's such a weird
thing. City.
Where are they? They're down the bottom.
They've got Stoke, 3-1.
I mean, they've gone downhill since you took over.
They're restless.
Not surprised, mate. If you go back and look where they were when Eustace got sacked, they were flying, mate. They were playing such good football. They got rid of Eustace, brought Rooney in, and then
for him to come in for 2 or 3 months and for him to say, I could have substituted all the players except for one. That means they're not running for him, are they?
Yeah, I am. But, you know, one of the things which Roy Keane takes a bit of flack for from players who played under him when he was a manager is that he expected too much of players who didn't have it in them, sort of thing. Like, they just weren't at the level that he was used to. So he was expecting certain things. They just weren't good enough to perform at that level. Do you think there's a danger of that for Rooney? Because he played like high level football for his whole career.
It's always difficult for high level players to coach average players.
Yeah.
Because they want them to do. Could do all they could do, but they're not. That's why they're in the championship. So I feel, in my mind, it's difficult for
Yeah, I agree.
Film should be able to get the work rate out of them and
well, that's a worry, isn't it? If they're not running for him, that's a worry because then you're not working. Yeah. The one player who is working for him is Jay Stansfield, who's obviously he's fairly well known because his father was right out, and it was he's in a bit of trouble now because he's an ex. His dad's an ex. Was a former ex City player, and then he's right, cool. Thank you, mate. Last orders. So that's through with him completely. So he's an former City player, fan, and his dad played for him, and then his dad died, and then he played for him, and blah blah. So when he scored against Plymouth, who are Exeter's big rivals, he revealed a T-shirt because of Exeter. So Plymouth and Exeter are big rivals. Do you think you should get punished for that T-shirt? Because it is a bit like
what once blue eyes were. I mean, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know where I stand on it because I don't like seeing
players. What Mooney's doing there is telling people what they want to hear.
Yeah,
and he'll say to
carry on.
I did that. No problem. Come on.
And especially because he is scoring, he's the one player out of that team at the moment who is playing for him. He's running his guts out. He's finishing. He's on fire. He scored 4 in the last 5 or something like that. He's looks like a real player. Yeah,
that's the beat burn, the stretch
play. Yeah, that was a couple of weeks back.
The
problem with Birmingham is they were doing so well. Like if they were struggling before he came in, I think people would have more
patience. That's the problem, isn't it?
They were flying,
and it just seems to have turned it around, haven't they?
Yeah, they were playing great football. No. They were winning everything, and then they just brought him in just for the name value, innit? And it's not going well. Cardiff mixed bag picked up a win, drew with Plymouth.
When's that Cardiff Leeds? 13th. Oh, back in work.
Don't go back in work till 10th or something, do you?
8th.
Oh, part time. Yeah, I still think Cardiff are capable of getting to the playoffs if they sign the right players in January, but they've got to get at least 3 players in, I think. Player then, this journalist...
Keep the ones that they've got.
Yeah, keep certain players, for sure. They
Jordan James, no one else playing.
I don't know. Maybe he scored a goal for Birmingham. He's been starting since Rooney took over, so it's difficult to predict. But I'd like to see... No, I don't think so, unless Rooney loses this. He has to sell players, maybe, to get players in, potentially. But I had this journalist, Dan Whitcock, on last week, who's very sort of EFL-related on transfers and stuff. And he was saying, Kiefer Moore to Cardiff is pretty nailed on.
Oh, well, there you go.
And, but one thing...
Matt as well, he's not getting sniffed, though, is he? No. He's flying to be fair.
Yeah, he's scoring some goals, isn't he? But, you know... The one thing he slipped in right at the end of it, as we were sort of just signing off the show, he said about Robinson from Cardiff might be sold, which I was a bit surprised by because when Ramsey's been out, he has generally been the preferred option over Colwell until recently, and Colwell's been really good. But he's not the first name which sort of swings the mind.
Yeah.
But they would probably get some cash for him. He's proven in the Championship, he's quite quick, good bit. They've changed his position this year from striker to number 10. And I don't think it necessarily suits him because he's got pace. You want to get him in behind. And I don't think Cardiff are far off, mate. Honestly, I think it's 3 players they'd need in January to be in to have a good crack at the playoffs. You know, they might make it. But they've had a really hard run of games now where they lost a couple, won a couple. If they were to lose, say, 3 of the last 4 games, next 4 games, I think we're going to have a problem.
That's all it takes in this Championship, isn't it?
Well, you go from 11th to flipping 18th, and then you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. Swansea are in real trouble of getting dragged into the playoffs, into the
relegation. You win a game there, you go to 6.
Yeah, but their form is, and their performance is...
I mean, Cardiff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Win a game there, you go 6.
It's so easy, to go up and down just a couple of games. But like Swansea.
Yeah, but Swansea have got the luxury of being. Then these three teams are poor.
Yeah, look, this is it. Look at the
14, 16, 14 games lost. That's poor.
Yeah, it's brutal, mate. That is. And plus,
Rovers, they were up there a minute ago, and they look at them now.
Well, they've been, like Blackburn, being in the playoffs, haven't they? Mm. Like pretty much every year, or in and around the playoffs, should I say. Right. Let's get these Super 6 predictions.
I've already done mine.
I've done mine as well, so no copying me again.
You copy mine, that's why you're behind. I'm in front.
Yeah, I seen you change yours the other day. This is like got to be a steward's inquiry, I think.
No, you're copying me.
Struggling. One every season. Right. Go on, you do it this week, seeing as you're in the building.
4-0. First one, 4-0. So you can't copy.
Who's playing?
You're good.
I've done that now. I've gone 3-0. Villa versus Burnley, 2-0 Villa. Where you got? Packing now because you want a coffee.
You got
2-0.
3-1.
Go now.
1-0 Palace.
I got 1-0 Brentford.
Wolves, Everton.
Wolves 1, Everton 2.
No, I'm going to go Wolves at home win.
Okay. Forest 1, United 3.
I'm going to go 2-1.
Fulham 1, Arsenal 3.
2-0, Arsenal.
Here we go. Make sure you do your Super 6 predictions. Eight. I've done 12 this week. I've gone for a late one. It's normally earlier than that, isn't it? Guys, make sure you do your predictions and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure if you can still join. I think you can still join a prediction league. Contact Will in the chat. And
anyone out there who's good at FPL or giving good advice, give him some good advice, please, because he's struggling. You're right.
Okay.
No, are you blaming all my kids do it? Is it about you or is it someone else?
Someone else
who'll play golf, you'll have my kid does it.
Yeah, people can still join the charity league. So if they want to join, and obviously raise money for charity, which is the aim of the game, isn't it? But then I like to also beat Wandry season in, season out as well in the Super 6 prediction. And we had to contact Will and say, Will, listen, we're going to have to add the fantasy league to this because Rodri's getting really down because he keeps losing. So Will, being the nice guy that he is.
We have to keep you away from Bridges after this.
That's why I started drinking again, mate. That's a problem. Jack Daniels,
absolutely. Lager. 300, 250, that's a proper gap, that.
Big gap there. As always, guys, appreciate you joining us. And, thanks for all the comments. Do spread the word. We'll be back to normal next week. But it's always good. You'll be back home in sunny Manchester.
Yeah.
Sunny, sunny Manchester. None of this rain. £20 million for parking. So I said, it's been good, mate. I've enjoyed it. I always enjoy it. It's a good crack. Make sure you spread the word. You can ignore those comments, Wendy. Nothing to see there. Nice. It's always a good time. Appreciate the rum and tavern. Appreciate you, mate, for coming in, taking time away from
last orders is
your family. They're closing up early.
10 to 9, last orders.
Make sure you spread the word, support Social Podcast Network, and anything else. And keep your eye out for ticket news for any live events which Ace Podcast Nation may or may not be putting on in the first week of February. Just saying. Take it easy. Anything you'd like to say before we leave, my friend?
Excuse me. No.
Forgot what you were then.
No, I was going to say, I'll reiterate, if any FPL helpers out there, just contact me and need help.
Social Podcast Network.